And as Barbara comes to share some things with us, I have a copy here of the charisma. Now, we get 10 charismas every month and put them out on the table. And it usually takes a couple of weeks for them all to disappear. And if they don't look real interesting, you know, we go by covers, right? You know, you go to Walmart and they got the newsstand and the papers, and we go by the cover, whether we pick it up or not. Yeah. Well, the new charisma, if the cover doesn't look real attractive, we might, by the end of the month, still have one left. Well, this month they all disappeared overnight because it's got Mr. Trump on the front here and articles about Mr. Trump and Mrs. Clinton. And I just like, you know, if you miss your charisma, if you don't get one, or they all went away before you could get one, I have a couple more at home I'll bring down. You can fight over them Wednesday night. And you could go to charismamagazine.com and order one. It'd be well worth the money. Well worth the money. I believe with all my heart that the will of God is in these pages. Now, you'll need to seek for the will of God in your own prayer and meditation. But I believe the will of God is in these pages. For the most part, it's very accurate. You know, nothing in the natural is totally accurate. We all make mistakes. But I believe that there's some real good required for every Christian reading in this Charisma magazine. And I'm preaching the Bible, not charisma, so I'll let this go. But this has got extremely important articles in it for the church. And, you know, we have a great nation that we live in, and we have a right to vote. And to make it even greater, we have a right not to vote. You know, some countries, they are required to vote. But our country is even greater in that that's your choice. But as Christians, there is a requirement we cannot get around, and that is to pray. Whether you vote or not is your choice, and it's up to your conscience, but you cannot ignore prayer. And for this upcoming election, we must pray. A couple of days ago, there were nationwide fasts. They started to be 40 days before the election, and there's just people everywhere fasting. There's people here in our church fasting. And different people are fasting in different ways, different timings. You know, different people have a different routine of fasting. But the church as a whole and the nation is rising up in 40 days of prayer and fasting for this election. And I have to believe God will honor that, and it will make a difference. So I encourage you, you know, whether you vote or not, that's important. But what's more important, we must pray. We must pray. This is crucial. And you can find a lot of the answers you may have been looking for in this magazine, because they put into words things that we don't always talk about in church. But God bless you as you pursue the election. May the best man win. Amen.
Hallelujah. God's been putting a message on my heart that is going to include our nation as well. Bill's handing out some paperwork, and we were going to be looking at some of this later on in the message, so I just wanted you to have it in your hands. We're going to 2 Corinthians 5, 18 through 20, and the title of this message is You Are Called. And the scripture says, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them. In other words, not holding your sins against you. And has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. We, as born-again believers, are representations of the kingdom of God to this world. We are the ambassadors here standing in for God's kingdom. We represent God's kingdom to this earth. And we're going to go now to Luke 11:2. And he said to them, this is Jesus talking, "When you pray, say, 'Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven.'" So we are to pray that God's will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. We're commanded to pray that God's will happen on this earth. And that includes the elections, everything. God's will be done. Amen. And I just want to just put, this doesn't really have to do with my message, but when we pray, we're to pray trusting in God and believing that he hears us and he answers us. Amen. If we are in fear, it voids out our prayers. You know, if we say, "Oh God, we're so desperate here, please do something. I'm so afraid of what's going to happen in the election." That's no faith. That's not going to accomplish anything but just create an evil atmosphere. You know, when we pray, trust in the Lord. Pray for his will and then put your trust in him. Pray in faith. Amen. Hallelujah. As believers, another thing we're called to is represent who Jesus is in the way he lived upon this earth. And that's part of that is healing the sick. I'm just going to read some portions from Mark 16, the first part of 17, and then the last part of 18. It says, "These miraculous signs will accompany those who believe." How many here are believers? Amen. "They will be able to place their hands on the sick and they shall be healed." That's who we are in God's kingdom. Amen. 1 Corinthians 12:28 talks about helps, or the ministry of helping, being a ministry gift. And every one of us are called as helpers. You know, Calvin and I's main purpose in Mexico is a ministry of helps to the pastors we serve. You know, we're there to help them. And so we work as a ministry of helps, and we're all called to help one another fulfill God's purpose and plan. We're going to be looking now at Ephesians 4, 11 through 13, where it talks about the fivefold ministry. And it says, "And he himself, Jesus, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers." This is what we call the fivefold ministry. Verse 12, "For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." Now, are we there yet? Are we a full measure of Christ yet? No. So we still need the fivefold ministry. We need it in our lives. I'm going to talk a little bit about where the word apostle came from. When Rome, back before Jesus' time, before he started, Rome was in rulership at the time in the world, but it says when Rome was conquering new cities, they would send in a fleet of ships full of good things from Rome, blessings and things that would improve the lifestyle of the people. And the ships, they brought the best. And when the people received these gifts and their quality of life was raised, they accepted this new kingdom. And the main captain on the lead ship was called the apostle, but all the ships that went together was called the apostolic fleet. And they brought the best of Rome, and that's how they conquered a whole lot. They would bring blessings to people, and they would accept them as their leaders. Well, apostolic ministries today bring the best of what heaven has to offer, which is salvation, healing, deliverance, prosperity, peace, joy, love. Hallelujah. That's, you know, any ministry that brings these things from heaven to the people, they're willing to say, man, I've been blessed. I've been set free. I'm willing to leave the kingdom of darkness and be a part of the kingdom of light. The apostolic ministries bring the blessings of heaven to people. Hallelujah. The different, and we're all in this together. You know, there was this apostolic fleet, and they couldn't do it without each other. Well, all of the different parts of the bodies are like gears turning that make everything work. And love is the oil that keeps it functioning right. Love keeps everything turning good. Love isn't self-seeking. Love gives. And a church is a family that everyone should be involved in. You know, in any family, when children are raised from the time they're small, helping around the house, they grow up to be more mature, solid people. They can function in life when they have grown up helping and being a part of things. And every member of the church should be working and helping in the church. That's where a family that work together. Amen. We're a body. There's also, the Lord says, we're a body. You know, a body can't, you know, the toe can't function without the brain. You know, we depend on one another to function. We're going to read Ephesians 4:16. And it says, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. When we all work together, the load isn't too hard on one person. It's shared, and it just edifies, and it builds up the church. Ephesians 5:2 tells us to walk in love. 1 Corinthians 8:1 says that love edifies. Love always builds up. Love never tears down. It builds up. Hallelujah. There's the old saying that says, I don't care how much you know until I know how much you care. You know, that we're to care for one another and to care for the world around us. Philippians 2:3 says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. 1 Corinthians 16:14 says, let everything that you do be done in love. Hebrews 3:13 admonishes us to exhort one another daily. We're to love and to build up and to help one another. Amen. Now we're going to Hebrews 10. We're going to read 25 and 26. It says, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. It's important that every believer be a functioning part of a local church. I know there's a lot of lone rangers out there that says, well, I can just watch TV. I can get what I need. It's just me and God. But there's things you miss by not growing together with a church family. You know, we all need to be part of a church family to grow healthy. Hallelujah. Mark 16:15, Jesus said to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Does it say pray that the world will come into the church and get saved and healed. No, it says you go out into the world and heal the sick and compel the lost to come in. So we have to take it. We are a church family that strengthens one another, but we're strengthened so that as we go into the world, we can be the right kind of witness for Christ. Hallelujah. Now you can look at one of the sheets of paper that you were given called the second seven mountains of culture. And here we see the church, the family, education, government, business, media, arts, and entertainment. And this is, the Lord says, go out into all the world. And we're to go out into the different areas of culture to bring them to the Lord. And the Lord has had us for a lot of years praying for a lot of these different areas. The last 4 years, we have went and personally prayed at every school, praying God's will be done and that His Spirit fall in that school and that young people will come to the Lord and that for their education. But we pray for the schools. We've been all over town. We've went to every church in town praying that God's will be done in the churches. We go to the businesses. We go to the government offices. We go to every mountain that we have here in Douglas and we pray for God's will to be done. We want our community changed for the Lord. Amen. When we pray on location, the atmosphere begins to change. Demons flee and the angels are welcome to come and go to work. And it happens in the spirit before you see it in the natural, but it happens. The atmosphere begins to change when you pray in a certain location. God wants to use you, where you are. He wants to use you in your home, in your church, where you work. God wants you to pray there. And it's something I've been praying. Just let prayer rise up all over the place. Let prayer begin to rise in every home, in every segment of society, in every one of these mountains. Let prayer begin. Hallelujah. The people in these mountains that we showed, the people that are at the top are the ones that make the law and that influences what happens, what the laws are and how people think within those mountains of culture. So we will go into this later, but God wants godly people raised up within the culture. We're going to look at some Bible examples. Remember Joseph in the Bible. And his brothers sold him into slavery. They took him to Egypt. And in Egypt, then he was doing good as a slave, and he was exalted. And then he was falsely accused and thrown into prison. And, God was training. He was setting him up to be the second highest in the nation of Egypt at the time. When he interpreted the dreams, God gave an ungodly king a dream that nobody could interpret. And God had Joseph at the right place at the right time to receive the interpretation of that dream. What if God wants to give, what if God is giving ungodly people dreams to now that they don't know what to do with? God wants to put you in proximity to them so that you can hear from God and bring the answer of God. Joseph, through all the awful things that he went through, he kept believing in God, praying. He listened to God. He knew his voice. What if he, instead of continuing in his fellowship with God, what if he would have gotten bitter and angry? I mean, terrible things were done to him that were false and wrong. He was suffering through no fault of his own. Great. What if he had become bitter? Would he have been in the place he needed to be? God set him up to be a ruler in Egypt and to deliver the people of Israel. So when we go through hard things, keep your heart right. Keep your heart right. Keep it right before the Lord. Keep talking to him, listening to him. No matter what's happening, listen to God. Because God's setting you up for something special he has for you. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And a similar thing happened to Daniel in the history of the Bible. Babylon, which is now Iran, had went and taken a lot of the Israelites from their country to Babylon to be their slaves. So Daniel was living in Babylon, and but he faithfully prayed, and he heard God's voice. Even in a foreign land, he heard the Lord. And because he was listening to the Lord, God raised him up where he was to be a leader. We're going to look at Daniel 2, 20 through 22. And this is taking place after God had told Daniel the king's dream and interpretation. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his, and he changes the times and season. He removes kings and raises up kings." Who removes kings and raises up kings? God. Hallelujah. "He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells with him." God reveals deep and hidden things to those that are listening to him. Hallelujah. We're going to go to Daniel 2, 48 through 49. "Then the king promoted Daniel and gave him many gifts, and he made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief administrator over all the wise men of Babylon. Also, Daniel petitioned the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat in the gate of the king." Gates were places of influence. Leaders were recognized at the gate. And there's a remnant that sets in the gate. Hallelujah. We're going to read Proverbs 29:2. And it says, "When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when a wicked man rules, the people groan." Then 1 Timothy 2:2. "Pray this way for all kings and all who are in authority, so that we can live a peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity." So we're to pray for our leaders so that we can live peacefully and quiet, marked by godliness and dignity. So we need to pray for God to put leaders in our nation, from the president on down to local, that are godly and we can live righteous. Amen. Amos 5:15. Says, "Hate evil and love good. Establish justice in the gate," and this is the place of influence. "It may be that the Lord of hosts will be gracious to the remnant of Joseph, It may be that the Lord of hosts will be gracious to Douglas, to Arizona, to the United States. Hallelujah. Prophetic insights change strategies at the gate. Prayer plus seeing in the spirit produces a shift in the atmosphere. Proximity is power. It's a key to authority. God wants to share secrets with his people for solving problems in every sphere of influence. When you share the key to fixing a problem, then you bring godly influence into the situation. Bridge builders are famous for their prayer, but when they've prayed for schools. They're the ones that started prayer for schools in Arizona. And they found they prayed in their office, but then they decided to go to the schools and pray. And when they went to location, they found out that the prayers made a whole lot more difference. And then they would go to the principals and they would talk to the principals and say, what are the needs of your schools? What can we pray for? And when they went to the principals, they had much greater results because proximity is power. Touch base with those that's in the gates, that's in the head. And your prayers will have greater effect. You need to surround and fill the place where you work with prayer. There's people here that work all over in different kind of places. Where you work, begin to pray there in that place. And then find someone that can pray with you. Even if it's 10 minutes a day or so on, find somebody that believes in God that you can lift up a prayer together, because when unity increases the power. Buildings can contain evil spirits. Sometimes they've been in those buildings a lot of years, and sometimes they come with the people that work there. So buildings can actually have demon spirits that live in there and dwell in there. And when you begin to pray, it begins to change the atmosphere. The demons flee, and it opens the door for angels to come and go to work in that place. Even if it's two people praying faithfully in unity in that place, it begins to change the atmosphere of that location. And when the atmosphere is, when there's demons in a place, it's like people's minds are clouded and closed and they can't see, they're blinded. But when the atmosphere changes, people begin to realize their need for God. And they begin, oh, I need God. And so changing the atmosphere changes the open doors for ministry, because the atmosphere is just different when God is in a place. Hallelujah. I know Wednesday night, I just begin to pray for the Spirit. Break out. Prayer break out. Prayer break out. Break out in every home. Break out in every business. Break out in every church. In every church. Break out. Break out. Prayer. Begin to break out. We prayed that the altar, prayer altars in homes would begin to come forth. That people would begin to pray together in their homes. Hallelujah. Prayer to break out in every segment of society, in every mountain of culture, in every home. Hallelujah. Prayer to break out. James 4:7 tells us, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. So when you're in a place submitting to God and resisting the devil, he has to flee. We're going to read Hebrews 1:14. And it says, therefore, angels are only servants. This is New Living Translation, are only servants, spirits sent to care for people who will inherit salvation. How many of us are inheritors of salvation? Yeah, we're inheritors of salvation. And so angels are servants or spirits sent to care for us. Hallelujah. We're going to read Psalms 103, 20 and 21. And it says, "Praise the Lord, you angels, you mighty ones who carry out his plans, listening for each of his commands." Other versions said, "Listening for his word." So when we speak the word of God, the angels' ears perk up. They say, "Ooh, I hear God's word." Hallelujah. "Yes, praise the Lord, you armies of angels who serve him and do his will." Hallelujah. So praising the Lord, speaking his word, written word or the prophetic word, making decrees over where you work. Hallelujah. It brings the angels perk up and say, "Ooh, I hear God's word. I'm going to work on that." Amen. Hallelujah. The new big in the church world is going to be the micro church located on site in places of influence. Think about it. The Bible club at the high school is a micro church. Where Nina works, they have started having voluntary prayer meetings and Bible studies for all of the workers. That's a micro church right there in that home. Hallelujah. And we just need to pray that these churches, these prayer gatherings will just begin to start. Just go wild and begin to start in every place, in businesses. Amen. We're going to read Matthew 18:18 through 20. "Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them." That's an awesome promise. The word agree in Greek is symphoneo, which is where we get our word symphony. You're playing with one sound. You're praying with one sound before the Lord. Hallelujah. There's great power in unity, and there's great weakness in division. When two or more people are in a love relationship with each other, and the Lord, it is set up for a habitation, not a visitation of the Spirit. You know, a church should be a place of love, where love abounds. And when we love one another, it sets the stage for a habitation of the Holy Spirit, where he doesn't just come visit once in a while, but he dwells there. He's there all the time. His presence is there. Hallelujah. You know, this church is a family. And we're drawn together by Christ's love. That's the foundation of this church, is the love of God. And that's our unity, is around the love of God. And we may think different. We may have different doctrinal ideas. We may like one way of doing things over another. You know, we all have our own ideas and our own preferences, but we're not united around our ideas and our preferences. We're united around the love of God. We're a family. We're together in the good times, in the bad times, when it's up, when it's hard, when it's good. We're family. We're a family that dwells together because our love for each other. And we, you know, we just don't let things that are different than the way we do them bother us, because that's not our point of unity. Our point of unity is the love of God. Hallelujah. The anointing is found in that quality of relationship. From that kind of relationship comes authority and administration of God's kingdom. Ecclesiastes 4:12 says, though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. In the late 1700s, there was a politician in England named William Wilberforce, and he was a Christian, and he was also a parliament member. When he went into office, England was a wicked nation. They had slavery, child labor, severe poverty, and every form of wickedness. It was an evil place, a dark place. And during his political career, Wilberforce was successful in having 179 laws changed in England to create an atmosphere for morality and a higher quality of life. At the same time, there were two major revivals taking place, one with John and Charles Wesley, and then with George Whitefield. The result of the Reformation and the revival was a Victorian England. There was a total change of culture in England. And during this period of time, Wilberforce, Wesley, and Whitefield and others met every week to pray together. What do you think about preachers and politicians getting together every week to pray together? Look what happened in England. It was a very dark, wicked nation, and it turned to the Victorian England. Hallelujah. It completely changed the culture. Hallelujah. Reformation works from the top down. It's important for God's people to rise to the top where they have influence to change laws and mindsets. That's where Wilberforce was. He was at the top where decisions were being made, and he helped change 179 laws. Revival starts from the bottom up. Fire rises. Revival works on the conscience. Revival is needed to change hearts. So we need reformation that starts from the top down. We need revival that starts from the bottom up to change men's hearts. When you change legislation without changing the consciousness of the people, you get a backlash like the Prohibition. In the Prohibition, they outlawed liquor. And the black market just went wild. It actually got worse in our country because they changed the laws without changing the hearts of the people. Look at the drug culture. Drugs are illegal in our country, but the market for drugs in the United States has drastically increased. 8% of Americans use illegal drugs. The government spends $193 billion a year for prevention and treatment. There has been 70,000 deaths in the drug wars since 2007, and this statistic was from 3 years ago. I don't know what it is now, but it's probably much more. There's probably 120,000 people that's been killed because of the drug wars, because we have an appetite for drugs as Americans. We need revival to change the hearts of the people. Hallelujah. When you win people without changing the laws, you don't have the nation. And God also wants to give us nations. We're going to look at Psalms 2:8. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance, and the ends of the earth for your profession. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations. Father, this day we ask you for the nation of the United States, that you will give us the nation for the righteousness, for your kingdom, that your will may be done in the United States as it is in heaven. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going on to Matthew 28:19. And it says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all men." No, that's not what it says. It says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." Nations. Baptizing him in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. When you come into a sphere of influence with God's presence and prophetic insight, you have authority. We need to care deeply. Father, what do you feel? What is your heart? What is your will? We need to pick up the heart and compassion of God. We need to join God in what he is doing. Care about what he cares about. What is God's passion? Move toward what God is passionate about, which is restoration of all things to him. That's God's passion. John 5:19. Then Jesus answered and said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner." The cries of our heart need to echo the cries of God's heart. We are to do what we see the Father do. Because he loves us, he will show us things before they happen. Out of a love relationship with our Father will flow revelation. We will have ears to hear and eyes to see. We will hear from the heart, not from our head. We need to hear from our heart, not from our head. Our head panics and goes crazy and gets mixed up, but our heart doesn't. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 14:1 says, "Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy." Prophecy is when we speak God's words. We can speak his written word, but we can speak his words that come up out of our spirit, and there's power in it. Prophetic words are creative. They change things. They like set things in motion. They like decree God's will into a situation. I'm going to read Acts 2:17-18. "And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my maidservants I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy." You know, everyone that's born again is God's manservants and maidservants. We're his children. And he desires to speak his word and his will through us. Amen? Hallelujah. We're going to Habakkuk 2:1-2. And it says, "I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me, and what I will answer when I am corrected." When we hear from God, we're often corrected of a bad attitude of something. And how we respond to that, do we say, "Yes, Lord, you know, change that thing that needs to be changed in me"? Okay, and I will answer when I am, and what I will answer when I'm corrected. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. Clarity is power. Revelation comes from God. While the number one weapon of the devil is deception and confusion. The devil used deception and confusion. And God uses revelation to set people free. Hallelujah. Now you can pick up the one that says Faith Ministries, Church, Purpose, and Vision. And it's important to know, who are we? What are we doing? What's our calling? And this just helps remind us as a church where we are. Our purpose and vision, to prepare an atmosphere for the presence of the Lord so that the gifts of the Spirit and miracles will be in continual operation. Our number one purpose is to prepare an atmosphere where God's welcome. You know, we want God here. I've been to church when God wasn't there, and it's just not any fun. You know, the whole joy of church is coming into the presence of the Lord. It's just awesome. Amen. And then take it to the streets. Take the presence of God outside the walls, ministering to people where they are, reconciling men to God. Then to be a house of prayer, standing in gap until our community has an Acts chapter 2 class revival where multitudes are saved. And just prayer, you know, Jesus said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. You know, we are a house of prayer. We have a purpose to keep our focus on loving God and loving people and being quick to forgive. To have a loving family atmosphere so people feel like they have come home when they come to Faith Ministries Church. Love people where they are while the Word of God and His presence transforms them. I'm going to just talk a little bit. When people are sick, they go to the hospital to get well. When people who are spiritually sick, they need to come to church, be in the presence of God, hear the Word of God to be made whole. After someone's born again, there's a period of transformation. Well, I think we're always, as long as we have breath, we can be transformed. But there, for new believers especially, there's a time of transformation where they begin to think in agreement with God's Word. And God loves us right where we are, but God loves us too much to leave us where we are. He wants us to change, to be more like Him. Amen? While we welcome everyone hungry for God to come to church, the shepherd's job is to protect the sheep from wolves and goats. Wolves are people under demonic influence that come to prey on the sheep. And so as shepherds, we need to keep the door closed to the wolves. Amen? Goats are people that's not surrendered to God. They're controlled by their own ego. They're influenced by evil spirits. And they like to butt people around. Have you ever been around goats? They just love to butt anything they can butt. And goats, you know, they're just full of their own ego, and they want to be boss. They want to be pushy. They want to be the king of the mountain. They're destructive. You know, we've had friends that's had goats, and the goats love to climb on top of the cars. And their friends quit coming to see them because they always left with goat hoof prints in their cars, you know, and so that wasn't any fun to them. The owners might have thought it was cute, but the other people didn't think it was so nice. But anyway, we want everybody here that has a hungry heart. But we need to be sensitive and not let the devil send in wolves and to send in goats that are just wanting to cause trouble. Amen? Okay, going on. Our purpose is to receive from a plural ministry where the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher corporately guide the body so that all members are involved as helps ministry and souls winners. And so we believe. That's why we have so many people preach around here. We believe in the body and all of the ministries, and God's continually raising up new ministries. And so we just, you know, we believe in multiple ministry. We don't believe a church is a one-man show. Okay, to train believers to do the work of the ministry and send them into the harvest field. To be an agent of the Great Commission, sending missionaries into all the world. To be a blessing to our community by prayer, Christian example, and community service. And to love and care for the earth that God gave us. You know, I appreciate that God gave us a beautiful earth to live in. And we need to appreciate it and love it and pray for its healing and well-being. Bless it. Hallelujah. Well, Lord, we just thank you for this time. We just thank you for this time in your word. We thank you, Lord, that we are your people. We thank you, Lord, that we are your own called and special and chosen people that you have called and brought together into this loving family, into this body. And Lord, we just thank you for your presence here. We thank you, Lord, that every wall will come down around of our hearts that would hold us back from moving further into your will and your purpose and your plan for our lives. Father, we just lift up our heart to you. We ask for ears to hear your voice and the courage to obey you when you speak to us. For you do speak, Lord. You speak there. And Lord, give us the courage to step out in faith and obey you when you tell us something. Father, I just thank you. I thank you. I thank you, Father. I bless this nation with your will for officers, for the president, for every office that's available right now. We ask for your will to be done in this nation. Father, we thank you for this city. We thank you, Lord, that it is being saturated with prayer, with faith. And we thank you, Lord, for having favor upon this town. We thank you for a tsunami of your love coming in that will touch every person, every heart, every family, that you will show up in the most unlikely of places. Oh, Father, we thank you for showing up in our town to touch people, to love people. Oh, we thank you, Lord, for transformation. Transformation. One soul at a time, one heart at a time, that people be transformed into loving you. Father, I thank you that you send dreams and visions into people in the nighttime, that they will wake up with a hunger for God. Father, that home beshini ay olohori ande meni ay onohodami ande nini ay orhebe endi oshe. Tony and Luis Esqueda, years ago, they had taken a bunch of liquor and they went to the dump to get drunk, to drink, plan to spend all night drinking there. And a bright light shone about them, just the bright light came over them. And they both immediately were sober and began to call upon the Lord. And from that day forward, their lives were totally changed and different. And Lord, we thank you for that type of encounter with God to happen all over the place, in every segment of society, even in the darkest of homes, that God will show up, and transform hearts forever. Forever. We thank you, Lord, that you're the same God today that you were then. And we thank you for an outbreak of prayer, that there begins to be a saturation of prayer in every home, in every school, in every business, in the city offices, in the police department, in the border patrol, in the medical clinics. Lord, we just pray that you will begin to raise up prayer warriors in every segment of society, every place, that there will be people that will begin to pray, that they will begin to pray, that they can find a prayer partner, and that prayer will begin to fill our city, that prayer will be stirred up and begin to fill our city. Oh, La Raya Shea, and it'll, many places, it'll start with one, and then it'll spread to two. And it may start slow, but it's going to become rapidly a fire that encompasses our town. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you that you have called us to be a house of prayer. You have called us to stand in the gap and to pray. It's a calling of God. It's a calling of God. You've called us to be a house of prayer. And Father, we stand before your presence even this day. Even this day, Lord, we stand before your presence. And we say, here I am, Lord. Here I am. Use me. Call me. I want to do your bidding. I want to do your call. I want to do what you're asking to do before you, because you have great and mighty and wonderful things in the making for our community and for our lives. Father, we just thank you for your anointing, for your presence in this place. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus, that prodigals will begin to return home to Jesus. All over town, people that's once known the Lord and they've went their own way. We thank you, Lord. We call them back. We call back the prodigals. We say, come, come home. Come home to Jesus. We send out that call. Come home. Come home to Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for your heart, for your ways, for your purposes to be completed in this time. Father, I thank you for starting a fire of God in every church, a fire of prayer in every church. And I thank you, Lord, that denominational lines and walls will come down, and that we will have a heart of love for one another. Oh, that we will have a servant's heart for one another. Instead of saying, how can I get your sheep? Or how can I do whatever I do? Lord, let us say, what can I do to help you? Change our hearts, Lord. Change our hearts to servants' hearts, to your heart. To love and serve the people of this community, wherever you call us to, Lord. We thank you for unity among the church, because when there's unity among the believers, the oil of God comes, just like it came on Aaron, and it not only came on his head, but it went down over his robes, even into his feet. And Lord, we thank you for unity in this church, that your anointing will fall, and it will flow throughout this body of believers. We thank you for the body, the kingdom of God, and the body of Christ that's in Douglas, that there will be a unity, a spirit of unity and love for one another, that your anointing may fall corporately upon us. Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we surrender to you today. We say, yes, Lord. Yes.
Yes, I'm yours. I'm yours. I'm yours. I'm yours. I'm here to do your will, what you want, Father God. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If anyone needs prayer, that you would like hands laid on you, we are here to pray, to agree with you in prayer for what you're needing. We thank you, Jesus. You're such a good God. Such a good God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, we lift up William to you. He's your own special child. And you received stripes on your back for his healing. His healing is already prayed, already paid for. Would those around Lupita just lay hands on her just for praying for William, her husband? Lord, we just thank you that right where he's at right now, we rebuke the pain, we command it to leave, and we thank you, Lord, for health and life moving through his body right now. Right now, we thank you, Jesus. We thank you for healing William. Healing William. Helping him to completely let go of the hurts of the past and look to the future, that he let go of everything from the past, that it just be washed away, that he turn it loose, that he be able to just turn it loose, the hurts that he's had from the past, that he this day, that he can just turn them loose and let them go. And Lord, we thank you for your presence, feeling flowing through his body, flowing through his emotions, flowing through his mind and his spirit, Lord, that he be raised up and healed and make totally whole. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for it, Father. We thank you for it, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you that you're a loving and a good and an awesome, wonderful Father. That you just love us so much. You just love us so much. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord, that you're bigger. You're way bigger. Way bigger. Way bigger. Your word says is you're far above every principality and power and might and dominion. Every name that's named on earth, you're far above. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, today's our blessed day, and we're going to just thank God for the food and bless it, and then everybody can continue fellowship in the kitchen. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for what's been deposited in our hearts. And we thank you, Lord, that you always give us a bounty of good food. And we bless the food in your name, and we give thanks for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Let's all stand and head for the dining room. For those that may not know it, in approximately 3 weeks, Eric and Denise are going to be taking a new assignment in Little Rock, Arkansas. And so we're going to start today with our official cry. And we've made a little special cake for them back there with a scripture reference on it. It has to do with sowing and reaping. See, we're not losing them, we're sowing them. And so we're going to expect a harvest of a whole bunch more just like them. But take time today to share with us and share with them. And let's, for the next 3 weeks, let's say goodbye to them. Not forever, but, you know, so long, forever, for a while, or whatever. But let's begin your special love towards them today, because they make preparations for their departure for a new assignment. God bless you.